All right. As you can see, oh, good, King's going back. All right, good. Or TJ going back. Emmanuel means God is with us. And in Matthew 1:23, let's start there. It's one verse. Of course, talking about the birth of Jesus. And I want to take this Emmanuel, God being with us, to a kind of a deeper level of how he really is with us, not just then, but now and forever. So go ahead, Jeremy, go to that next verse. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't disorder. That's fine. Let's start out in Deuteronomy 31. Now, I got Matthew 1, but we're going to start in the Old Testament because it builds up here. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not." Now, God's, you know, talking to Moses. Moses talking to the people. "Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you." So if God doesn't forsake us, doesn't that mean he's with us? He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to fail us, but he's with us. Now, we picture Jesus being the face of God. For the first time ever, God took on human flesh, but he came to be our Savior in this point. He came to be our Redeemer. He came to save us from our sins, but he's always been with us. And we track it all the way back here to when he first called Israel to leave Egypt. And he says, "Don't fear, don't be dismayed. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to take care of you. And I'm with you." When we know God is with us, when we know he's really with us, why are we afraid? When we know he's with us, why are we dismayed? When we know he's with us, why do we doubt? God's with me. Now, we may not can see God the way we see each other. We not can see God like we see our guard dog at night. You know, our alarm system, we punch in our code, and, well, my alarm's with me, my dog's with me, you know, I've got all the protection around me. My family's with me, my husband's with me, my wife's with me, whatever. We can't see God that same way, but we do see God in a much broader way. Understanding that he truly is with us in our moments and every season of our lives. No matter what we're going through, he's not forsaken us, just like he did in Moses. He did the children of Israel. Through all their grumbling, God didn't forsake them. Through all of their fear, God didn't forsake them. Through all of their whining, complaining, God didn't forsake them. God was with them on that whole journey. So God's with us too in our journey. He is our Emmanuel. God is with us. You go back even before Moses. We look at when he created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden. I mean, God was with them. And God came looking for Adam in the garden and called out to him, "Where are you at, Adam?" Adam hid himself from God. The presence of God was so alive and so real in the life of Adam, in the life of Noah, in the life of Joseph and Moses and all these prophets and great men and women we read about in the Bible. God was with them in a spectacular way. How could David possibly face that giant, that Philistine warrior? How could he face him in his own courage? He couldn't. What made David not afraid of Goliath? God was with him. That's why he wasn't afraid. He stood in front of that giant and knew he was outmatched, outmanned, outsized, outgunned in every way. But one, the main way, God's with me. So you may be bigger. You may be physically stronger. But you're not bigger than the one that's with me. You're not bigger than my Emmanuel. You're not bigger than the one that's standing right here beside me, because it'll be him that will throw you down, not me. But my God will destroy you. My God will put you on your back. God was with David. God was with Joseph. God was with Adam. God was with Abraham. God was with Isaac and with Jacob. Abraham was 100 years old, 100 years old. Sarah, 90 years old, could not have kids. Of course she couldn't at 90 years old, even back then. I mean, she was past childbearing age. And an angel appeared. "I'm going to give you, Abraham, the seed you desired." And Sarah laughed and mocked the angel. "No way. Crazy. I'm 90 years old. You tell me I'm going to have a kid? Are you? No way." But God overshadowed the womb of Sarah. Overshadowed the womb. and conceived a child within her way past her childbearing ages. Because God was a present God in her womb. God was with her. I mean, God's presence, God's hand, God's power was just as real in the life of Abraham and Sarah as he was on this day in Bethlehem we read about when Jesus came forth. The same God was there. The same God was alive. The same God was with them through their journey. That applies to us in many ways. God's with us. We don't serve a God who's out of order, or a God who's way over there somewhere, or a God that's left behind and we leave a sanctuary or a service or a prayer meeting or, you know, whatever we leave. God goes with us. Every step that we take, God is with us. In our sleep, God is with us. In our rising, God is with us. In every waking and sleeping moment, every breath we take, God is with us. In the surgery room, he's with us. The doctor's office, he's with us. On the highways, he's with us. Are y'all getting this tonight? God is with us. Every step of our lives, he's not going to leave you and drop you and abandon you and walk away from you. Our Emmanuel is my Emmanuel. God with me forever in every storm and every season and every dark place. God is with me. So to me, that's pretty encouraging. Because sometimes we can't see the God being with us because all we see is the stuff around us. But God is right there. Right in our path. God knows the tears we're going to shed long before we shed them. God knows those moments of joy. Before they had the scanners, whatever you call it, the scans to see if you have a boy or a girl. God knew. He already knew. They didn't have that in my day. Maybe I am old. They didn't have that in my day. Right? You didn't know what I was going to be until I was born. Didn't know, technology-wise, I mean. You had a feeling, whatever, but you didn't know medically-wise. So, you know, mom didn't know until Ms. Lewis, congratulations, you got a healthy, bouncing ball hit a boy. There I was. Didn't know, but God knew. God knew what I was going to be. God knows every moment of joy, every moment of fear, every moment of mourning, every moment of gladness, every moment of doubt, every moment of discouragement and depression, God knows. You know why he knows that? Because he's with us. He's with us. And he sees us. And he knows our hearts. And if we would learn to lean on the God that's with us, the Emmanuel. See, God's got many names, as we know. Many names throughout the Bible attributed to God. Because he's so many things. And the one I want to concentrate on tonight, and only this one tonight, is Emmanuel. God is with us. It's important that we realize that in a world of brokenness right now, a world of separation, a world of anger, a world of lost morality, a world of just so much junk happening right now that's just trying to divide the world, divide the nation, divide the people, so much stuff. We must be steadfast in this one thing and know God's still with me through it all. My God is still with me. And as long as I know God is with me, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be safe. I'm going to be secure. I'm going to have victory. Because my God, my Emmanuel, is with me. God is my Emmanuel. We love God being our Redeemer. We love God being our Savior. We love God being the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright Morning Star. You know, we love all the things we attribute to God. You know, he's my protector. He's my, you know, the Old Testament, they got all kinds of, you know, the El Shaddai's and all the, you know, he's my healer, he's my provider, he's my, all these things. But tonight we're talking about he's my Emmanuel, that God is with us. Think about that night when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in that manger. Mary, this young little young girl, no older than, younger than our kids here probably, young, conceived and had this Savior of the world. And for the first time in human history, God had a face that man could look upon. God had a face the world could look. When they saw that face of Jesus, they saw the Heavenly Father. They saw God. John 1's clear about this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on down a few verses, says, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, for the first time, we saw God's face in a human form, the closest we could ever see him. God came to be with us in a special way that night. And for 33 years, natural earth years, God was with man in that capacity. He was with man when he walked the shores of Galilee. He was with man when he fished in the boats with Peter and John. He was with them when he raised up the daughter that had passed away and died. He was with them when he, you know, spit in his hands and put mud on the eyes, and the blinded eyes were open, and when he opened the deaf ears, and when he healed the lepers. And God was with man in a very special, small window time that only that generation got to experience. I mean, imagine that. Only that generation. Like, each one of us have generational things we remember, right? You know, I think about my parents. My parents' generation was the 60s, okay? Which is, you know, the 60s, the hippies, right? The 60s was, you know, the generation that, you know, that kind of, you know, the Beatles, the long hair, the hippie, the, you know, peace, not war, you know, all that stuff. Each generation has their thing. I'm an 80s generation, 80s kid. My generation brought forth MTV, brought forth video games, brought forth technology like never seen before. It's where it all birthed, out of the 80s. You know, there's moments of history. You know, 9/11, only a small generation of people will experience that 9/11 event. The ones that have passed away missed it. And then the ones that are too far removed, it'll be history if we're still here. Long ago history. But we experienced it. We were here. We can say we saw the tower fall. We saw the flames burning. We saw people jumping out the windows. We saw it happen. We were there. Some of you lived through the JFK assassination. You were there. You saw the limo going through the streets of Texas, and you saw, heard the gunshot, and you saw JFK fall over. You saw that. Not live, but you saw it. Each person has history they can share of, I was there when that happened. I was there. I remember sitting in the parking lot with my father at Al Ray Tire on Front Street. It was a Saturday morning, and Dad had the radio on. They were doing the rocket launch, the Challenger. Is that the one that had the teacher, female teacher? And the rocket took off, and then I remember hearing the announcement on the radio. It burned up, crashed. I'll never forget that. I was at Al Ray Tire on a Saturday morning with my dad. I remember, that was 86, he said. So I was 15 years old. I remember that. There's things in history we'll never forget because we were there. So Jesus, when he came to the earth, that generation of people that were blessed enough to be alive then, they saw more than a prophet. They saw more than a traveling evangelist. They saw more than this weird guy that did weird miracles. They saw God in the flesh. Because God was with them in a very special way. Can you imagine being that generation to say, as the Roman soldier did when he gave up the ghost on the cross and the earth shook, and that Roman soldier said, surely he was the Son of God. He knew what had just happened. He knew who had just been crucified. God has been with man through every generation. From the garden with Adam, to the flood with Noah, to the den with Daniel, to the giant with David, to the walking on water with Peter, to the upper room at Pentecost, when he rushed in like a mighty wind, empowering those in that room. And now here we are alive, all these years later, 6,000 years removed from when we first start reading our Bible, and the same God that was with Adam in the garden is the same God with us today. God is with us. He's with his people. He's with mankind. People want to dismiss him, discount him, get rid of him, pretend he doesn't exist, ignore him. But does it mean he's not with us? If I told Mary Billings there's a 6-foot rattlesnake sitting in front of her legs right now, she could say all she wanted. No, there ain't. Okay. You hear that? I don't hear nothing. That's the tongue. You hear that? She can deny it all she wants. But it don't mean if there's not a 6-foot rattlesnake in her leg, she ain't going to get bit. We can deny, people can dismiss, God's not real, God's not there, God's not alive, God is not really with man, all they want, but it doesn't make it truth. So I know I have an Emmanuel, God is with me. There is no doubt. See, we can experience God. We can feel God. We can see God. We can hear God. We can even touch God in so many ways. If we just realize he's with us and don't treat God like he's a distant deity that can't be touched. Whenever the Bible says to approach his throne with boldness and confidence, he wants us to come to him. He wants us to experience him. He's reminding us every day, yes, I'm with you. I'm with you in the car. I'm with you at work. I'm with you at school. I'm with you on your job. I'm with you everywhere you go. I'm with you in your family crisis. I'm with you in your financial struggles. I'm with you when you get your scare from the doctor. Whatever your situation is, I'm with you. I'm with you. And we can take great comfort in knowing that God is not just with us, but he's not going to leave us. He stays with us. He's not like our friends or like other people that just come and go out of our lives. God's not a recycled kind of person that just comes around when it's convenient or when we want something or take advantage of us. God is constant with us always. Go to the next scripture. Here's Joshua 1:5. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. Now he's talking to Joshua because Moses is dead. Does that mean God's not with Joshua? No, God's still there. God just picks up the mantle. Or gives a man to someone else and keeps going. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake thee. I'm not going to leave you, Joshua. I know I called Moses out of Egypt. I know I called him to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. I know that he went to Pharaoh all those times. He led them all across the Red Sea. He got the water out of the rock. He did all these great things. I know I was with him, but don't worry. I'm with you too. I'm not going to leave you. I promise. If God's not forsaking us, that means he is with us. That's the opposite of forsaking us, is being with us. Next verse, verse 9, same chapter, verse 9. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid. Don't be dismayed, because your Lord, your God, is with you wherever you goest. Now think about this. This is the God of the Old Testament. He's telling Joshua, wherever you go, I'm with you. Don't worry about it. Wherever your footsteps, I'm with you. My presence is ever abiding. That's the miracle of God. It's his presence is ever abiding. Friends leave. Neighbors go back home. We go to a game with a friend. You go your way, they go their way. The night's over. But not with God. God's presence remains. When others leave, God stays. When others walk away, God remains because he's with us. And if we can know God's with us, we can face anything. Any storm, God's with me. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you say, devil, God's with me. Doesn't matter what battle's in front of me. I mean, is there any battle God can't win? Any storm God can't calm? Any depth of water so deep he can't swim? No. God can cross any plane, anything. Overcome any giant because God is God. And if God is with me, that means I will walk in victory because the victor is with me. The champion of all life is in my corner. And I cannot be afraid if I know when the bell sounds, God's going to fight my battle for me and I will win because God's with me. Hey, man, this is awesome preaching, Jeremy, for Wednesday night. That's pretty good, ain't it? Hallelujah. Y'all looked excited. God is with us. Go to the next verse. 1 Chronicles 28:20. David said to Solomon. Now David was king. Of course we know Solomon's son took over. He said to his son, be strong, good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, David's saying, will be with you. The same God that took care of me is the same God that's going to take care of you. The same God that blessed me, the same God that blesses you. My God is transferable. I'm giving you the authority to walk in the same power of God that I had because God's with you just as going to be with me. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. In other words, God's going to be with you to the end until you're done, until you're finished. He was with Paul to the end. That's why Paul says that I've ran my course. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Now my time of departure is at hand, and I know there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul finished his course. Paul knew God was with him. Think about Paul. Paul wrote several of the books of the New Testament while he was in prison. I mean, he was in prison, bound in prison, but he's still writing the Word of God that we today use throughout the world to declare the gospel. Because God was still with Paul, inspiring him. Cell bars couldn't stop the flow of God. A prison couldn't stop the moving and anointing and presence of God. The bars couldn't keep God out from where Paul was. Remember when Paul and Silas got arrested one time, and they're back in the city jail, and they're shackled up, hands and feet are shackled, and they got several layers of guards guarding them, and they begin to sing praise to God, and all of a sudden the earth shook, and their chains fell off, and the cell door opened, and they walked out. Why? God was with them. Prison don't keep God out. Storms don't keep God down. Giants don't keep God weak. God is God, and He's with us every single moment and day of our lives because He's Emmanuel. Go to the next verse. Matthew 2:20. This is to us. This is New Testament. This is Jesus speaking. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. He's telling His disciples before He leaves, I'm with you. Now think about this. They must have thought, okay, you're with us always, but in a few days you're going to be leaving us. Sure, God, you're with us always. Jesus knew He's going to be leaving the earth. He knew He's going to be ascending to His Father. He knew that. But yet He says, I'm going to be with you always. And He was. And He is. Because He told the disciples, you go wait for me in Jerusalem. Don't go home yet. I'm not done. You wait. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a gift. Just wait on it. And you'll know, believe me, you'll know when it comes. You'll know. So they wait in Jerusalem. Jesus is done ascended. His physical body is off the earth. He's gone. He's no longer walking straight to Jerusalem. But He sends something very special in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. 10 days after His ascension, God sent back His presence. He sent His Holy Spirit to infill and indwell His people, to empower them, to remind them, I told you I wasn't going to leave you ever. I'm here, and I'll be inside of you, and I'm going to be with you every step of the way. How could Peter, who denied Christ 3 times out of fear of the people, all of a sudden come out of the upper room and be the lead spokesman for Jesus? Because His presence was with them. God, Emmanuel, was with Peter. God is with us. He's not going to leave us. I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Don't worry about God leaving me, ever. I want us to think about that a minute. God, you're never going to leave me. Never. You're never going to leave me. Now, I know sometimes people turn their backs on God and they walk away and they rebel and they reject. But God doesn't. God doesn't. God's always right where we left Him. He's just there, waiting on us to figure that out. To know God is never going to leave me, but be with me to the end of the world, that tells me the time I know Him to the time I'm off this earth, I never have to worry about a day, a minute, a second going by He's not with me. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I have some pretty bad seconds and moments and days. Do y'all? And to know that in those times, God's with me. When I can't feel Him sometimes the way I want to feel Him, because, you know, sometimes your grief, your torment, your fear, your anxieties, your worry can be so overwhelming that it drowns out the presence of God in your life. Where you just can't seem to feel Him. You know, I've learned through the years, I think in those moments I appreciate God even more. because I know by faith that when I can't feel him in those moments or even see him in those moments, I know in my head, in my heart, that he's still there. And that gives me great comfort to know he's still there. It does me. So to know that in those moments I can't feel him or see him, and to know he's there, it gives me hope and strength and courage to face another day, to get up again and do it all over again. No matter how dreaded it may be, no matter what we see in front of us, no matter if we can't see the finish line, we can't see the victory, if we could just see God. God, you're there. You're present. You're with me. I mean, just to know that God's with me. Did I even put Matthew 1:23 in there? That's my main verse. Let's read it. Matthew 1:23. I meant to put that first and skipped it, then get back and get it, I guess. Matthew 1:23. This is when the angel is talking to Mary, talking about her coming experience. Chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. God loved us so much. He cares for you so much that he left his heavenly realm, took on an earthly form, endured torment, pain, all the stuff he endured, knowing his destiny was to be born to die a crucifixion death, which was a very painful experience. But he left that to do that to be with us forever, because that was the only remedy for sin, was there had to be a perfect lamb slain, and he was the perfect Lamb of God. No other sacrifice would have worked. You know, I was reading this story. I know you probably know this, but as reading this story, you know, Joseph and Mary, they were not together as husband and wife till after Christ was born. He didn't know his wife till after Jesus was born. So this Savior did not come by the way of man. If it had been, it would have been a seed of contamination, like we all are. But it was birthed miraculously by the Holy Spirit. God just breathed upon Mary's womb. And a child was born. Think about that miracle. And this child grew up and committed no sin, but yet was tempted, yet was tested. Satan got him in the wilderness after a 40-day fast and got all up in his ear, started telling him stuff. I know you're hungry, Jesus. The Bible says you can turn that stone into bread and eat it. Jesus come right back at him with the word of God. Then he says, you're God, right? Jump off that cliff. Angels will take care of you. He came back with another scripture, word of God. Three times the enemy tested him, and three times Jesus passed the test. Whenever Pilate was in front of the people and says, which one to release, Barnabas or Jesus? And they cried out, Jesus, to be crucified. And even Pilate, what has this man done? I mean, what has he done? And the more they cried, crucify Jesus. He had done no wrong. He truly was what Isaiah said, a lamb led the slaughter who opened not his mouth. Jesus didn't try to get out of it. He didn't plead not guilty. He didn't say, I'm innocent. He didn't say nothing. He knew his mission. He knew his call. He knew his path. And he walked that line. He walked that path. And he carried that cross. And he was nailed to it and threw up in a hole up on a hill. And the whole world saw him stripped of all that he was. I mean, here is God in the flesh, Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, stripped and beat for us. and then wrapped up and buried, done away with. He's gone, he's dead. And then come out 3 days later, ascended, sent back the Holy Spirit. And now we're just waiting on the kingdom to be established. We're waiting on God's millennium kingdom to be established. But in the meantime, God's with us. In the meantime, he's with you. He is with you, church. And he's not forsaking you. And when you can't feel God or see God because of your own misery, remind yourself, I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not by sight. And my faith says God is with me. My faith says God is in me. My faith says my destiny is secure. My future is sealed. That's what faith says. My sight may see something else, but my sight may fail me, but my faith will never fail me. For my faith will carry me all the way to the end, across the finish line. It is by faith we are saved. It is by faith we are healed. It's by faith we are delivered. It is by faith we are sealed to redemption. Faith in what Jesus has done for us. So that's what we walk by. We walk by faith, knowing, God, you're with me. I don't like what I'm going through, but God, I thank God you're going through it with me. I'm glad you're holding my hand. I don't like facing it, but God, I'm not facing it alone. I don't like enduring it, but I'm not enduring it alone. I don't like what I see, but I'm not seeing it alone. I don't like what I hear, but I'm not hearing it alone. You're with me, God. You are with me, and you're going to carry me across, and I will win because you're with me. Emmanuel. God is with us. I just think that's powerful. God is with us. We tend to think of Emmanuel as only the time Jesus was born, but he's always been with us from beginning to end. I like what he says in John 14, I believe it is, where he says, I go prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. There are many rooms, many dwelling places for you. So, I said that backwards, but y'all get the gist of it. Starts out, there are many rooms, and it goes on. But anyway, that where he is, there we're going to be too. Which means he's with me, and I'm with him. And no amount of time or space can separate that. Death can't even separate that, because I'm with God. I truly believe that God allows us to begin to see his hand of mercy in our deathbeds, those that are his. I truly believe we begin to experience the other side, so we'll embrace it and be willing to let go of this to embrace what he has for us. I mean, it's hard to let go of this world that we love. I mean, we got family, we got wives, we have children. We hang on for them. You know, the night Vance Henry died down at Lake Norman Hospital, I was there. I went there when he died. I got there after he died. But Lejeune was in the bed with him in the hospital bed. He was in so much pain. And Lejeune said, I knew he was hanging on for me. He said, I knew he was hanging on for me. And said, I never had the courage to say it before, but I was tired of seeing him suffer. So I told him, I said, Vance, if you need to go on home, it's okay. I'll be okay. I'm good with that. Go home. She said it wasn't 10 minutes later. 10 minutes. He's gone. See, he needed that release. And I believe God gives us that release here on the earth, whether it's through someone telling us, hey, go home. God's got something for you. I told Brother Michael Henderson that, a great pastor friend of mine who died at the age of 52 of cancer, went to his house. It's so funny, he was in his house for weeks, the hospital bed. I kept meaning to go by and see him. We just didn't. We got busy. You know, life gets busy. We just didn't see him. But we went that day. It was a Friday. It was a Friday evening. We went. And I went to his bedside. His wife's there. Kids are there. And the Lord blessed me with having a long moment with him. They kind of went away to the kitchen. It was me and Brother Henderson sitting there. And I'm a faith guy now, church. I'm a faith prayer. I'm a faith preacher. I believe God can do anything. I believe God can heal. And I pray for that. So for me, this is out of the box what I said to him. I looked at him and I said, Brother Henderson. And not that he needed that from me. I don't know. I just felt led to say it. I mean, he wasn't hanging on for me. But I just felt led to say these words to him. I said, Brother Henderson, your work is done. It's okay to go home. It's okay. got a call later that night. That same night he passed away. We hang on because we think that's what we're supposed to do. And God says, hey, there's a time for hanging on. There's a time for letting go. We don't want to see those we love suffer. I don't want to see people I love suffer if they're not going to be healed the way we pray for them to be healed. I'd rather them go on to be with Jesus and be healed that way. That's why we can celebrate the death of a saint. That's why, oh, think of the people that you've lost in your lives that you love, how you miss them so much, but how you wouldn't bring them back to this hole for nothing. I wouldn't bring them. You might bring them back for you because, we miss them. I miss my grandpa a lot. It'd be 5 years in February, won't it? Been thinking about that. 5 years. And to me, it seems so much longer. It seems like it's been longer. It's not like it's been forever since I've seen my grandpa. But, man, I wouldn't want him back in this world having breathing problems and heart problems and stress ever again. He is completely in his reward. It's like your kids, right? I mean, if you're, most parents for the kids. We've told Christian, we've told Jamie. You're actually not old enough yet. We want you to live your lives and be happy. If Christian meets somebody from Idaho, and that's where he wants to go back home to live, as long as you buy me a plane ticket once a year, I'm cool with it. I'll come see you. I want my kids to be happy. I want them to experience the fullness of life. I'm not jealous of that. I embrace that. If Christian marries a multimillionaire and they got a house in Waikiki, hallelujah, praise God. That means I got a house in Waikiki. See, we got to change our thinking. When our kids are blessed, we're blessed. You don't think my parents want me to win the lottery? Of course they do. Because I know I'm going to share. You want what's best for your kids. You want them happy and successful, and you want them to enjoy life. But God's got a whole life he wants us to enjoy beyond this life. And one day we'll all get to that edge, and we'll be hanging on the edge, whether it's a few weeks or months or years. We'll be in a place where we're on that edge. And there are some that bow that edge. Vance Henry battled sickness for, 6, 7, 8 years? I mean, it was pretty bad. Some face it for a very short time. Some go to sleep one night and don't wake up. They just go be with the Lord. I done told God that's the way I want to go, by the way. I've told God, Lord, that's the way I want to go. I truly just want to not wake up. I want to go to sleep. And then when I wake up, I'm with you. That's how I want to go, whenever that is. To me, that's the perfect, if you call it perfect death. Just no sickness, no disease. My old pastor's father died that way. He was in his 80s. They were at the house, his own home. I think his wife was cooking something to eat or something. And she went in the living room and didn't go clean the dishes up. He's in the living room on the couch. She comes back in there. He's just gone. Just gone. All the cat, just gone. He was never in a hospital. Never had any sickness. He was still coming to church regular. Just clean the dishes and he's gone. Just God just took him. Some suffer a lot. Some go in peace. But I know this. I believe every child of God, when it comes time to take their last breath, that they have that moment of peace before they enter. I think there's a moment of peace they get, no matter how sick they are, how much pain they're in. I think there's that moment that God shows them something or gives them something to usher them in across. I can't prove that. Just how I feel. Because I know how God is. I just think God gives us that. So, anyway, remember that. Maybe Emmanuel means a little bit more to you after hearing this message, that when you hear the word Emmanuel, it won't be just in a song or a fancy phrase for God or a trendy spiritual thing, Emmanuel, but when you hear it, you'll know what it means now. God is with me. Praise the Lord. All right, that is my message. Anybody got any comments or closing remarks or...